of Christ according to God's precepts. You may recall that they have been on a few mission trips, few getting in already into the double digits by now, all of those being to the continent of Africa, been to Kenya. That's where the first one occurred, and most recently to the country of Zambia, where several have happened, and they've also been to a few other countries as well in between. But I just have a special ministry and involved in Zambia now in a special community school ministry that they'll be sharing with us some about that today. Some of us here in PBC have had the privilege to be on a mission trip with them. And I'll tell you one thing, if you go on a mission trip with Ed and Donna, it will be well planned, to say the least, because it takes a lot of work to get ready for the trip and to engage the people and just to be a part of it. But it's just a blessing to be able to do that. So pay attention to the opportunities that they will present as well. But be encouraged and uplifted by how God continues to work around the world, in particular in the situations that they will be sharing with us today. So Ed and Donna, if you'll come, appreciate it.
Right? Yeah. Can you hear me? Good. Wow, I'm off to a good start. Well, as Danny said, you're in for a treat. I hope you are. I mean, it's a treat for us for sure. I mean, I want you to know that without a doubt. We love coming to Pioneer Bible Church. Don't get to come about once a year, it seems like, maybe twice on a good year, but it's good to come this morning. Even driving up this morning was fun. The highways were pretty clear. The sun came up. It was a beautiful morning, beautiful Sabbath morning to drive even to Ponca City, so we enjoyed that. If you're an OSU fan, you're happy this morning. If you're an OU fan, we just won't even go there. You know, it's just one of those deals you don't want to even talk about. But we watched the OSU game, and gosh, they won again. It was a hard one, but they pulled it out, so that was fun to watch. I see we got one OSU person back here for sure. And I'm sure there's two, and we probably have some more here. And if you're an OU fan, you didn't wear your shirts this morning, and I fully understand that. We went out to eat last night at a place we go out on Saturday night and get a hamburger usually, and there was a lady in there with a Texas shirt on. She was a brave, brave lady. There's a Texas shirt. But she wore her Texas shirt proudly last night, so we were kind of excited to see her and her bravery. Well, this morning's going to be different. Even though we're filling the pulpit for Larry, we're not going to have a sermon, per se, like you would normally have on a Sunday morning. I mean, we hope that our testimony about what, as Danny said, what God has done and is doing, He's given us this great opportunity in our ministry to join Him. We hope that testimony will be a sermon to your heart and be an encouragement to you and challenge to you, too, quite frankly. We want to challenge you before we leave, too. But first, we're going to just tell you a little bit about our ministry for those of you who might not know us. We see lots of familiar faces. As I told a couple people in the beginning, before we started, I can't recognize your face and your name because we don't come enough, but I recognize your faces, so it's good to see you again. So Donna's going to share a little bit about just living well.
Yeah, and I am excited to be here as well. And, you know, I'm kind of the technical person on the team, so I'm running the PowerPoint. And I notice your screen, you see, has this discoloration, or the projector. So it doesn't look exactly, I wish we could all just look at the back screen because it's actually better than the front screen.
No, we don't want to do that.
Maybe you should just turn your projector around. Anyway, so we're going to share some of what's happening with us. We're going to share a video and hopefully that you'll understand where some of your support from Pioneer Bible goes and things like that. For those who don't know us, we're going to do a short introduction just about who we are as Living Well. As Danny said, we do marriage ministry and actual financial counseling too, premarital, those kinds of things. We We know the Claritas through my involvement with Scope Ministries. I was on staff there with Diane, and that's how we got to know each other. And so we had that same kind of background, same training, but we started Living Well in 2003 to do more on the topic of marriage for just the two of us together. And so part of that, we'd already been to Africa when we started that, and actually our involvement with missions came through this church as well. It's kind of comes full circle, because Celeste and Misakura with Alarm Ministries had been here, stayed with Claritas, and invited some of us at Scope to come to Kenya, and I was on that team. And through that relationship, we began to go and do pastors' conferences there. And so we went to, as Danny said, East Africa, and we were doing pastors' conferences, training pastors and wives on marriage and family ministry. And we've been to Tanzania more than once, Burundi, Kenya, and Zambia. And the Claritas have been with us on some of those trips as well. And so it was during that time that we, after being to Zambia, that we got involved with Wisdom Community School.
Yeah, you know, and you know, as Danny said, we've been on lots of these trips. In fact, honestly, I can't remember how many. I have to stop and start counting the years up and how many times we've been each year. I think we're up to like around
13
or 14, I don't know, a lot of them. But everything kind of changed in 2012. We had been to Africa, to several East African countries that Donna mentioned, and done these pastors' conferences. And when we do our pastors' conferences, we do them for 50 pastors and their wives each conference. And it's a great blessing. It's a blessing to us, I think, is more than it is to them. But anyhow, that's a different story. But in 2012, everything changed for us. We were in Zambia, Dola, Zambia, the city that we go to. Charles, Brother Charles, who was in your church, some of you saw him speak about a year ago, I guess, he was here. We were talking about that coming up. It's almost a year ago exactly that Brother Charles was here. And we became acquainted with Brother Charles at a pastor's conference in 2011. He was our host. He was actually working for Alarm still then. But Alarm pulled out of Zambia during the time from our pastor's conference in June until that January. And Charles was without a job, basically. They decided Zambia was too far away from their home office in Kenya. So anyhow, we had struck up a great friendship with Brother Charles, or had great respect for him. And we went back in January to follow up with the pastors and their wives that we had ministered to in June. Don and I were alone on that trip, I believe.
Yes.
Is that correct? Yes.
Yes.
And we were visiting with Charles, and we visited with the pastors, and we had some follow-up meetings and some little mini seminars and whatnot. But one day, Charles said, I want you and Donna to come with me to a school. I want to show you this school that Alarm began about 2 years prior to that in a slum. It's actually a slum area of a slum area, if you can believe that. And he said, I want you just to go out with me and visit this little school this morning. So we had a morning off. He said, sure, that'd be fun. That'd be great. We didn't know what to expect exactly. We knew it was in a slum. We'd been to Dola several times. We knew the city, basically. But we hadn't been to this particular part of town. And we drive up to this little school, this little plot of ground in the middle of this community that's adjacent to a big slum area, this small community that really was kind of a, people had just kind of moved in and built little houses and kind of formed their own little community. The roads were just, well, I don't even call them roads or paths. Anyhow, we drive up this little building. It's two rooms. They're the blocks, the masonry blocks are made out of dirt, and they're red color. In fact, the dirt in Zambia is pretty much like Oklahoma. It's red. We feel pretty much home when we land there. Look, there's red dirt. But anyhow, this little building, it was made out of these earthen blocks. Kids everywhere. Not only in the school, but out on the grounds and just in the neighborhood. There's kids everywhere. And so we drive up, we go inside, there's a teacher in each classroom. The classrooms are small, but have, gosh, probably 50 kids each in each classroom. A lot of kids. Anyhow, so we introduce, and the kids are very polite, and we say hi to them, and Brother Charles introduces us, and we spend some time there. And then after we get ready to leave, or we already have left, and we're talking to Charles about it, he tells us, the sad news is that at the end of January, we were there in the middle of January, the school was going to close because it was lack of funding. Alarm had started the school and had funded it for those couple years, But since they had left, there was no funding then. And Brother Charles was a pastor of a church in Dole, a small church, and they didn't have the means to support the school either. So he sadly told us that the doors were going to close, and that was the only school those children in that little community had. That was it. Because the nearest public school was quite a ways away, but even so, they couldn't go to it because they didn't have the funds to go to it. The schools in Zambia, the public schools, are free, but you have to buy your uniforms, your textbooks, your supplies, furnish your own food, all that. So they aren't free. You know, obviously, if you live in a slum area, and a lot of these kids are orphans, like most of them are orphans, they couldn't afford to go to school. So this little school was their only means of getting an education. Anyhow, making a long story longer probably here than I should. But anyhow, you know, seldom in my life, even though I've been involved in ministry now for 20, gosh, since 1978, I don't know, a long time, God spoke to me, well, not audibly. He doesn't speak to us audibly nowadays, but where I can really say God zeroed in on me and spoke to me a few times, probably count them on one hand. That night in our hotel room was one of those nights. And I couldn't sleep that night. I didn't know why exactly. I was burdened by the school for sure, but I still didn't know what, because we had no background in schools or education. That was not our deal. We do marriage counseling and financial counseling. And it just, but it bothered me. And luckily that particular trip, we had a hotel room that had two rooms, a bedroom and a little sitting room off next adjacent to it. So I wouldn't disturb Donna. I got up in the middle of the night, it was early in the night, and went in there with my Bible and just thought, I'll read a little bit and I'll get sleepy and go to sleep. Well, an hour passed, nothing, I'm wide awake, I'm burdened. So I start praying. And then God says to me, and this is when he starts speaking to me, "See, Ed, go back in the room and get a legal pad and a pen. I got something I want to talk to you about." Well, that's kind of scary, first of all. But it's exciting. But this is like at 2 a.m., 3 a.m. So for the next several hours, I didn't sleep one wink that night. I know the next morning I told you, I probably looked like a crazed man because I hadn't slept all night, but I was excited because God had spoken to me, and he told me something very exciting and yet frightening, and that was, "Ed, I want Living Well to adopt that school." I went, "Oh my gosh, a school in Zambia?" There was 140 kids in the school at that time, and three teachers. And we had asked Charles that afternoon, as driving back, you know, "What does it cost to support that school for a month, just to keep the doors open?" He said it cost about $400 US to keep the school open. Well, during this conversation with God during the night, he said, "I want you to do this. I want Living Well to do this. Not you, but Living Well Ministry to adopt this school." Well, I wrote down lots of notes that night, and I'm not going to share all those with you, but basically he just gave me the mission, for our mission, to do that. I told Donna, shared that with her, and we decided, you know, that we didn't have a choice. This was God's working here, and he said, you know, "You guys are here. This is yours now. For the time being, it's yours." And we went back, we came back to Oklahoma City, and in our Sunday school class at our church, just our class that we teach at our church, we raised the $400 a month the very first week. We gave them the mission. We said, "Here's what we want to do." We had enough pledges that day to be able to email Charles and say, "Charles, the school's open for another year. We've got the money raised for a year at $400 a month." Well, that was just the beginning, and we didn't know that at the time. But it's such an exciting a saga that's taken place in just now, since 2012, just a little over, almost 4 years now. It's amazing what we've seen God doing. We're going to share some of that with you. But one of the things is something we've started there called Camp Wisdom.
It's really been a very humbling experience for us that God would allow us to be involved in something like this. And, you know, when we were, let's see, was it 3 years ago, that five of you from your church came with us, the Borgenhagens and the Harrises, and, well, not both of them, only Alan came that year, I guess, and the Claritas. And so they helped us put on Camp Wisdom, and I think that year we had about 120, but the school began to grow really exponentially. I mean, it was it was very overwhelming to us, because it was growing faster than we had anticipated, than we had expected, and we just kept going, there's 100 more kids there. And so this year we had 350 kids in seven grades now. And so when we do Camp Wisdom for a week, we do kind of a Bible school, but we do it all day long in sessions. And so this year we did 350 kids. Now, we had limited it before because the limited number of people we had, but so many of our team said, we can't stand it that all the kids aren't getting to come. So this year we said, well, they're all gonna come. We're not gonna have small groups. We'll do kind of a rotation system, and we were able to manage all of them and did lessons for them, did music, did crafts, did games like we normally do, plus handed out 350 t-shirts, which is no small task in itself. But we had a great time and a great mission, and then there were people in the construction crew that were working on the building. And we'll talk more about the building part of it in a minute, but we want you to see a video from our camp from this last year. And we'll hope that it works.
You believe all those kids? That's a bunch of kids.
And for those who have been before, I know you're marveling at the difference in what the campus looks like even from when you were there.
Yeah. All right. Well, we want to talk to you a little bit about that now, in fact, the campus and what God's been doing there even. You know, my background before I went into ministry, it was in 1987. I figured it out during that thing. I was trying to compute the years. was construction management. I was a construction manager, so I majored in college. It's what I did for the first years of my career. And so when we got this mission from God to work with the school, my construction management brain kind of kicked in about how can we develop this school and this campus? How can we ask God to help us develop this thing? And so we put together a master plan for the school campus. The school has about a little over two acres of ground. And except for that one little building that we had back in the beginning, that was it. There was that and a tree. There was one big tree there. And that's why you see in our logo we have a tree, because it's kind of the tree. It's up on, kind of on a hill in this community, and it's really a focal point. They had this little building made out of mud blocks, a tree, and a water well. I use that term water well very loosely. It was a hand-dug water well. If you know what those are, you literally dig them by hand. It was about 15, 20 feet deep. And they lowered a bucket down in it to get the water out. And during the dry season, which is about 7 months of the year, that well would run dry. So they wouldn't have water at all at the school for like 7 months of the year.
And even when they had it, it wasn't
water dirty. I mean, it was not good water. It was dirty water. But for them, it's all they had. So anyhow, my brain kicks into this development. We came up with a four-phase master plan for the school. And I just want to quickly run down. Let me say this, too, before I do that. Back in the back, behind your back pew there, there's a table set up that we've set up with propaganda, is what I call it, about the school, about our ministry, about the mission trip next summer that we're going to challenge you to be part of. And so all that's back there. And then back in your foyer, there's a couple of posters, too, I would like for you to look at when you leave today. But be sure and pick up some of those materials. Even if you don't have any desire to go or even help support, just do it just for information. I think it'll encourage you to see that. So just going over it very quickly, the phases. And we started doing this pretty much, the first year we started working this. In phase one, we wanted to provide better water for the kids and the school. And really, this community, which is a fairly large community, we don't really know how many people live in it because it's, you know, they don't keep track of things like that over there, but it's a lot and it's growing. That was one of the primary sources of water for that whole community, that little hand-dug well. So we wanted to have a mechanically drilled well. So that was one of the things that we worked on, and we were able to accomplish that. We raised, the Lord raised the money to drill that well. A church in Guthrie actually helped us do that from a financial standpoint. And we were able to drill a mechanically drilled well with a hand pump, which is a huge, vast improvement over that hand-dug well. This well provided water pretty much year-round. It was year-round. Clean water, good water, clear water, safe water. So that took place. We also, on our mission trip, I guess the in 2013, we took that first building and what I would call finished it out. We had it plastered inside and outside. Our team painted inside and outside. We did some landscaping around it. We cleaned it up a lot, quite frankly, and made it better. And so we did that the first year. We also started on the second year to build classroom building number two. This is all phase one. A whole other classroom with three more classrooms to give us five total. And so again, God raised that money up. We were able to have that done. We get often asked this, what about restroom facilities? Well, they don't have, since there's no plumbing, they have latrines. And some of you know what latrines are. They're just, you dig.
Outhouse.
You know, it's an outhouse, okay. It's a big, polite word for an outhouse. They had one for the teachers, but for the students, they really didn't have one of those. They had some sticks, literally, sticks off trees that they put up in a little rectangle and it dug a hole. And that was the kids' bathroom. Well, we, again, in phase one, we had a contractor build a masonry building, latrine for the kids. We also had him work on the teachers to remodel it, revise it, make it better for the teachers. And our team that was there in that summer also put up a flagpole, which is very important in Zambia. They have a lot of national pride there, huge national pride, which is a great thing. The kids do their national anthem every day and do the pledge and all that at their school, and a flag is very important. So a friend of mine who's kind of my cohort in crime on the construction end of the thing, And I went to the lumber yard in Dola and got enough materials to build a flagpole out of a piece of galvanized pipe. And we just made it. And we made a flagpole and put it in concrete and bought a flag. And it was a huge thing for them. To us, it may not be a big deal, but it was huge for them. So that was that's all phase one. And God's accomplished all that. Phase two, and we thought, was to provide electrical power, which is a whole other story that I can't go into because it takes too long. There's no power in that community. When we got there, zero. We could see power lines way in the distance, maybe like a mile away. And we were told, there's no point, there's no way power's going to come near here. Well, we went back a couple years, second year we were there, and the power had gotten closer. Still wasn't in that community, but we could see closer poles. We started praying and asked God, what can we, you know, let's get power here. You know, change this whole dynamic of this thing. And phase two was going to be the power first. And we realized, though, after a break-in at the school, we had a caretaker that stayed there. His facts that he and his family, he and his wife and little baby, lived in a storeroom at the school. And they got broken into one night, and he got hurt. He got injured by vandals. They were thieves. And their story was, they came to steal all the money those Americans left at the school. Now, you know, we didn't leave any money at the school. We don't, you know, Brother Charles is our colleague there. But they broke in. We realized we had to change our phase two of our master plan to put a security wall around the school, which if any of you have been to any third world countries, it's very common to have security walls around your houses and your businesses. It's just the way the world is. And that's the way it is in Zambia. And so that was in our plan, was down the road we were going to build a security wall. It's a big project to build a 8-foot-tall masonry wall around 2.5 acres of land. But we realized to protect the campus, to protect our teachers and our caretaker, we needed to do that before the electrical power. So we raised funds for it, got provided. We started building the security wall. In the meantime, it took 1 year of me and Charles negotiating with the Cower Company and doing some favors for them to get power to the school. But after a year, we got power to the school, electrical power. And that happened almost simultaneously with the security wall that's in phase two. So we now have power at the school then, at that point in time. Our team that went at, that year put ceilings up in classroom building number one. So it was pretty much a finished building. And now we were able to even run lights in there, which is a community at night now, folks. When you're there at night, it's dark.
Yeah, Alan and
I mean, it's dark.
There
and it's pitch black. And now we have lights in the school. So now it's become more of a focal point, the Lord gets all the glory for this. And we make sure that everybody in the community knows that. So we have ceilings in the room. We have some additional landscaping and some improvements. We're into phase three now. That's where we are today. In fact, we're in phase three. Phase three, we decided the next thing that we need to do is to have a submergible pump put down that well. The well is about 120 feet deep, very good water, but it's a hand pump. And some of you may have gone to Africa, you may know missionaries, you may have read stories. The hand pumps wear out. And when they wear out, they just abandon the wells in Africa. There's abandoned wells all over Africa because they break, they don't know how to fix them. Or the apparatus falls down the well, and they just throw their hands up and go, well, okay, that one's good. That one's gone. Well, we didn't want that to happen to our well. And one way to do that is to take the hand pump off of it and have a submergible pump and a water tank, water storage tank. And so that became part of phase three. And I'm happy and just thrilled to death to be able to show you pictures of it up there that's there now. And that just happened.
A faucet. It has a faucet.
It has a faucet. And so we were, again, God provided the funds. We had hired a contractor to put the submergible pump in. And that's been in place now since, I hadn't even seen it in person yet. It happened since we were there in June. I can't wait to go to actually visually and to hold that thing. But we have a storage tank now that holds about 1,200 gallons of water. It has a faucet, gravity fed, obviously. But, I mean, this is unbelievable for this community. You can't, I mean, see the picture of the little girl here with the buckets? Every time we allow them to get water, they're lined up. So that well provides water not just for the school, but for this entire, or not, most of this community. So it's a huge, huge blessing for them. And Phase three also includes, and this all is a progression thing, we wanted to provide lunch for these kids, a hot lunch every day. Well, you can't do that without water. You can't do that without electricity. Now we have electricity. Now we have water. So guess what the next phase of phase three is? It's a kitchen building. And that's what we're raising funds for right now. It'll cost around $22,000. We've raised about $14,000 of that. So we're getting close to be able to hire our contractor, who I've met and have a good relationship with this man who's a contractor there, to build the kitchen building. And then we'll be able to start feeding these kids lunch. And it's just amazing. That's phase three. We have phase four. Phase four is to build a third classroom building, to build another student latrine. By the way, we have two student latrines. I missed that somewhere. Somewhere in there we built the second latrine for the kids. So we want to have three latrine buildings for the kids, three classrooms, which will give us a total of eight classrooms. And also we want to build playground for the kids on the campus and have a big vegetable garden. There's about three quarters of an acre that's designated for a vegetable garden to provide food for the lunch program and also for the community so they can use that. They're very good at raising crops in Zambia. There's not a lot of, you see a lot of countries in Africa where the kids are starving. You don't see a lot of that in Africa. They're very good about raising food in their garden plots of their houses, and the climate and the soil there is good for that. So it's very suitable for that. So we want to have a big vegetable garden and also put up a chicken, I forgot what Charles calls that.
A chicken run.
I don't know. It's just a chicken building, basically. They raise chickens. Again, for food for the kids, food for the families, and also to sell. So we can help, make this a little bit self-sustaining to sell chickens. So that's all phase four, and we're just trusting God. We know He's going to bless and do that. Now, here's one more thing before we just move on. I know that took a little bit of time, but I think it's important for you to see how God's blessed. And He gets every bit of the glory for this. We're just along for the ride. It's amazing that night that He gave me this mission, and now in 3.5, almost 4 years, where He's taken this thing and allowed us the privilege to be able to walk with Him in this thing. Well, one of the burdens that Don and I got about 2 years ago was, the school's great. The school's providing education for these kids up through grade 7. Then they can go to public school, and we sponsor the kids that go on to public school. We raise funds separately for that. But we thought, there's not a church in that community, at least that we can see, a viable church. And here our school is sitting there vacant on Sundays. God help us. Let's plant a church here. So we talked to Charles about that. We prayed about it. And I forgot how many months it took before it all came to fruition. But a church plant took place at Wisdom Community School this past spring. And one of our school teachers, in fact, the only male teacher we have, Rogers is his name. That's his last name, Rogers, is the pastor. He's a teacher.
That's his first name. Rogers is his first name.
I should know that. I just call him Rogers and I'm safe.
It's a plural Roger.
True. But Rogers is a teacher, but now he's also serving as a pastor at the Wisdom Community School. And Brother Charles is walking right along beside him, mentoring him. He goes to church there often himself, his family. So he's working with Rogers, but we have a church meeting there. And we got to worship at that church in June with our team. What a blessing. In one of the little classrooms, which is about, I'd say maybe a quarter of the size of your sanctuary, packed full of people looking through the windows, So that's an unbelievable blessing to us, and an answer to prayer, literally, that there's not only a school now, but there's a church meeting at the campus.
So that's where God's brought us in 4 years. Now, the question we would ask is, what about next year? And so in June of next year, we'll take another mission trip. We would love for people to be able to go with us. We've set the dates tentatively for June 1st through 16th to do Camp Wisdom again, music, games, lessons, crafts, all of that. Plus the community outreach we do at the end of the week, and then the construction crew, which always has things to do
always.
There. And so that's what's on tap. There's sheets in the back about the trip, and there's even applications. If you're interested in going, please let us know. We'd be glad to talk to you about that. You can talk to the Claritas and the Borgenhagens too as well. So how can you be involved? Well, obviously the first one is to go with us. Go on our next mission trip to Zambia. Then the next thing is that you can give. And there's lots of opportunities for giving. The easy one is to support a student or a teacher. That's it doesn't cost $400 a month anymore to support the school. It's much more than that. And with 350 kids, you can imagine, and we have six teachers now. And so for $25 a month, though, you can support a student, or I think it's $225 support a teacher per month. And that goes towards their training as well as salaries and things. That's how much they make. So those are opportunities you can, and we have a website, wisdomcommunityschool.com. We have a Facebook page, as well as the Living Well website and Facebook page.
And again, there's material on the back, as Donna said, about the support of students, support of teacher. As she said, I think you said, we are responsible for 100% of the fundraising for the school. And it's a privilege and honor to be able to do that, quite frankly. But now, instead of 400, it's a little over $2,000 a month that we're responsible for, just to keep the thing going like it is. And you know, one of the blessings that this comes really to that I realize more and more every day is how God is not only ministering to the kids in that school, because it's a Christian-based education, by the way, and Charles oversees that. He's the part-time manager for the school, but we also are able, through the school, to employ 11 people in that community, which is huge. Unemployment rate in Zambia is like, I don't know, like 80% or something, something crazy. And we have six teachers now. We have Brother Charles as a part-time manager. We have a caretaker, three security guards. I didn't mention that. We have security guards now. We have a guardhouse that got built during the building of the wall. So we have three security guards that rotate so they don't work all night, all of them, you know, every night. But so we employ 11 people there besides ministering to these 350 kids. And obviously that takes some money. They make very meager wages, and yet still we have to do that and pay for that. And so there's information back there in the back to show you exactly how that's broken down to. Every penny that's given to Living Well for Wisdom Community School goes to the administration of Wisdom Community. We take zero administrative fee out of it, zero, every single penny of it. And I know there's some people, that's always a question we get when we have these presentations, because some ministries take administrative fees or salaries or whatever, and we don't do that. We trust God that He's going to provide that through our ministry at Living Well in Oklahoma City. So all the monies that are given that go straight into either supporting the school on a monthly basis or on our campus development fund for the that we raise money for those projects. Where am I at, Donna?
You're at pray.
Pray. We're at the pray time. And you know, so how can you be involved? You can certainly go with us. We would just cherish having some more physical involvement from Pioneer Bible Church with us. It's a great blessing. It's a long way to go. I'm not going to lie to you, but I tell you, it's worth it when you get there. And I always give this disclaimer, I guess. Your heart's going to be changed in a good way. You'll never be the same. You'll never be the same if you go anywhere to worship, to minister in a third world country. But I can tell you, in our place, you will be blessed. You'll receive a bigger blessing than the kids do. And that's hard to believe, but it's true. And you know, one of the things that's so I guess a little bit maybe different about our ministry there is we go to the same place every year. We've been many years now. We go twice a year. Don and I normally go in January too. And we develop friendships with these. We watch these kids grow. We know their names. We know their parents, some of them.
Not 350 names.
No, not all of them. Not all of them. But we know some of them. But they know us. The first year we were there, the first couple trips, they looked at us with wary eyes, because oftentimes, missionaries with great intentions, and I'm not trying to put down any missionaries or any missionary work, they come into a location, do a medical mission, do a vacation Bible school or something, and they go away and you never see them again. And that wasn't what God told us to do. He said, you know, plant your flag here. And we hadn't been to another country since then other than just the fly through there to get to Zambia. And that's what God's told us to do indefinitely. So what I'm saying is they trust us now. They're excited. When we drive in the school, in the compound, even in the neighborhood, when they, we have to get in the neighborhood. We can get a half mile away, and I don't know how the word spreads. I have no idea how it spreads. But the kids start running down the streets and just are so excited. The parents are excited. The men and women of the community, now they wave at us, and it's a great blessing. That's all I can say. And so you'd be a part of that if you go. And even if you can't go, if you just help support, you're our part of it. You're part of the team. Pioneer Bible Church is definitely part of the Living Well team, and we greatly appreciate your involvement, both financially and with manpower. So that's what you can do is to do that. You go with us, you can help support the financially, and you can pray. We cherish every one of your prayers and covet each one of them. I would pray that you would, there's some little cards in the back, a little business card size picture of one of the students at the school. And I would encourage you to grab one of those little cards, just take it with you and put it somewhere to remind you to pray for the school and to pray for Brother Charles. The economy in Zambia is tough right now. It's amazing. I watch that. I mean, I text Brother Charles almost every day. We text back and forth. That's the best way to communicate, believe it or not, text. It's amazing. Technology is amazing. You're the IT person, but I can't believe I can get on my phone. If it's the right time of day, I can text Charles. And within minutes, he and I are having a conversation from Oklahoma City to Zambia. And yeah, we do that quite often, but I'm saying this to say the economy, which is already kind of tough there, is in shambles right now. And there's reasons for that. But anyhow, the value of the dollar against their currency is awful. It's good for us, bad for them. So pray for Brother Charles as he just has to, you know, manage this, and the teachers as they teach, and the students, of course, and all of our people that we know there and work at the school.
One of the exciting things is we've seen so many of those kids come to know the Lord, and you know, that we've invested a lot of time in planting those seeds and then seeing some of them, many of them come to fruition. And so it's exciting to see their growth and development, both spiritually and in the school as well.
Yeah. So that's about all we have. But I want to just refer you back to the back again as you leave today to be able to sure pick up some of that stuff.
And let me mention that during the adult Sunday school hour, we're going to be teaching on marriage. So we're going to switch hats when we do the other hours.
Put that different ministry hat on. So let me pray. Father, thank you so much for the chance we've had to just speak for a time here at PBC this morning. And we just want to thank you for the blessing of their involvement in Living Well ministry, and especially for their work in Zambia. God, we give all the great praise and glory to you for that, obviously. It's all yours. We deserve none. We want none. We just thank you from the bottom of our heart to allow us just to walk with you in this journey. And we pray that you'll bless Charles even today. They're 7 hours ahead, so they've already worshiped. But I know that he's a man of worship and prayer, and he'll be worshiping later today. So we pray for Charles and his family as they live their lives in Dola. And we pray for all the teachers and our security guards and our caretaker and those 350 kids and their brothers and sisters and moms and dads, the ones that have moms and dads, that you'll bless them, take care of their needs. And Father, we thank you for the blessings you've provided already in that community. And we look forward and thank you in advance for what you're going to do. And we just, again, are thankful for being able to have part in that with you, to watch you work and to allow you just to use us as your hands and feet and voice in that. We thank you again for this church. We pray your blessings on Larry and Diane and the whole congregation as they stand in the gap for you here in Ponca City. And we pray that you'll just bless their every family represented here in a special way and watch over them and use this church in a mighty way as you have in the past, and we know you will in the future. Father, we love you. We're here this morning because we love you. We're here this morning because of Jesus Christ in our life. And we thank you for that presence in our life and the eternal life that he gives us, fully realizing that starts right here on earth while we're here, and we're to be your ambassadors. And so we consider that a great privilege and honor. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who gives us the help in that. And we pray our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. And be sure and pick up materials. Danny, is there something else now somebody going to give announcements maybe? Alan?
and Donna and I can certainly confirm that it is a wonderful trip if you're able to go be with them there. It's a life-changing week. And it always strikes me when I think about all the things that God has done there, it reminds me of when Jesus was out with the disciples and the crowds were following him and he was teaching, and they started saying, where are all these people going to get something to eat? And he said, well, you give them something to eat. But then he miraculously provided and multiplied the little bit that they had. And it's just amazing what's been done there with, you know, with the support of just a really a small bit of the church here in America. So just look forward to that.